Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson, a podcast about prioritizing passion. Each week, we cover topics in the personal development space, including things like money, finance, business, entrepreneurship, mindset, and seriously, whatever else I'm feeling extra passionate about that week. These conversations are meant to encourage you to prioritize your passion. Welcome to the party. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am here with Casey B. We are here to give you our toast and roast, and then I am going to be talking about how you have to find your lane to stay in your lane and see what works. So that'll make more sense when we get to the second part of the episode, but welcome back to the pod, Casey B. How are you doing?
Well, pretty good. You know, I've found my lane. I'm going to stay in my lane.
Good.
I'm going to keep on keeping on.
Casey is not in the second half of the episode because he is so busy, but that's okay. So I think I am going to start with my roast today. How does that sound?
That works fine for me. I need to think.
Okay. So if you've been listening to the pod for a while, you know I have some strong ideas about marketing tactics. So I ran into not one, but two businesses using this tactic, and I cannot wait to tell you about it, Casey, and all of you listeners. So it is really grinding my gears. I go on a walk, you know, and I see multiple little baggies about this big, the size of a business card. You know what I'm saying, don't you? You already know. Okay, so it's the size of a business card, this little plastic baggie with, yes, a business card inside of it and a rock, like the size of a baby's fist.
It's a high quality rock, though.
No, oh my God, it's so annoying. Okay, first of all, they're both landscaping companies, and I don't know what is going on with the Gig Harbor landscaping stuff, but we get stuff every other week. There's just stuff thrown around the mailboxes. It's never in the mailbox. It's never right next to the mailbox. It's just on the ground around people's driveways and mailboxes. Like, before there's been big papers, small papers, but now two of the businesses are using this tactic: rock, business card, plastic bag. And first of all, it's a big enough rock that if you're walking, you're gonna trip over
it. I'd probably break my ankle.
But somebody like Casey is gonna break his ankle. But like, if there's a lot of kids in the neighborhood, like if they're riding a bike, it's gonna it's big enough to make you go whoa. And so. It just makes me so mad. Why are they doing this? It's littering and they're landscape people. Like, what the hell are you doing? Why would anyone use that for a reference on, you know what? I have been needing some landscaping work done. And thanks for the reminder. It's like, I understand guerrilla marketing. I understand flyers. I understand. But this is dumb. And it's two different businesses that did it in the same week. And they're just scattered around the neighborhood. Nobody wants them, obviously. They're on the ground. You're littering and on the side, not even a sidewalk, because we don't have sidewalks here, but oh my God, it just makes me so mad. They're all over the place. It's not like one or two. They're all over the place. What are your thoughts?
Oh, man. I can understand they're just trying to get their work done and such, but there's a better way to market that.
I feel like I should be a consultant or something because I see different businesses just going about this completely the wrong way. Here's your free marketing advice. These two landscaping businesses. First of all, don't litter. Second of all, don't put rocks in people's driveways. They don't like that.
Well, it's like I was talking to a guy today and he does he owns a landscaping business and he does fences and decks and all that kind of stuff. And he's just like, I don't do any kind of advertising. It's all word of mouth.
Exactly.
It's all this guy, he did good. He did real good job. That's like, here's his number.
I understand.
And that's the same way that the company I work for does it. So
I understand it's hard sometimes to get business. But here's your third and final tip. The best thing that you can do, besides word of mouth, that's obviously the best. It's not easy to get word of mouth. It's hard to get that organically. But you just post on Facebook. Like, I understand people have a hard time with Instagram and the TikTok and the YouTube and all the things. Anyone can post on Facebook. If you can have a business card, you can post on Facebook. You know who's on Facebook? Your target market. Homeowners. People who are in their 40s who own a home. Like, oh my God, it makes me so mad. So that's my roast. You guys know I get a little fiery with my roast. So what is your roast of the week?
My roast of the week is that I've had to patch 2 chain link fences this week from people cutting through them and stealing stuff.
So do you want to get into this or should we not get into this?
Oh man, it makes me fired up. I was fired up all day. But yeah, so I guess I'll get into it. Let's get into it. So on Tuesday when you went to work, so I went down to my mechanics and I usually go down there and have a beer and wait for you to get in on the train. And he was stressed out and he's like, I had all these things to do. And then he's like, and I still have to go out and patch the damn hole in my fence where someone cut through and didn't steal anything. And so I'm like, yeah, I'll go and patch the fence for you. Don't worry about it. So I went back there, fixed that, and came back out. And then the next day, turns out that people went in to his yard and stole a bunch of catalytic converters. Cut them out of cut them out of 2 RVs.
What is a catalytic converter?
It's part of the exhaust system
of a car.
Yeah, but yeah, RV. That's worth a lot of money. And so he had to replace it out of his pocket because, I mean, it's not their fault that, I mean, it got stolen when it was under his care.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I had to deal with that. And then this morning, I was dealing with just my normal day-to-day things, and one of my guys came in, and he's like, "Casey, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there's a hole in the fence, and someone definitely took some stuff. And yeah, they cut a hole in our fence, and it wasn't. Usually you can patch it up and kind of stitch the fence back together. And the way they cut it, you couldn't stitch it back together. And so I was pretty mad when I saw that. And then I went down.
What is worse than a thief? Not much.
Not much. Not much. It makes me very mad. But yeah, the guy that told me and the guy that like noticed it at first, they both went down the hill like towards the valley. Mm-hmm. Below us, and apparently there's a transient down there like walking up, and the guy that told me was like he got very mad and he's like, "Did you fucking cut a hole in our goddamn fence?"
Oh my God.
And like this guy just was like, "What?" and got all defensive, and the other guy had a buck knife in his hand. He's like, just keep walking, go the opposite way. It's like, we don't want any trouble, just go where you're going. Stay away. Like, we're just trying to get our wood back.
They didn't get the wood back.
We got some of it back.
You got some of the wood back?
Yeah, because it was like a trail of wood down the fucking valley. And so it's like, he went down
leave
there.
A trail to find our way back.
He went down there.
It's not funny. It's so frustrating.
He gathered up. Everything was still there. We're missing probably like half of what was taken. But it's like they drop boards while they're going. And it's like, oh, okay. So we know who did it. And yeah, so I spent about an hour and a half fixing the fence. And then I had to go down to our warehouse and check the fence line there, because that's just right down the road, like in between us and our mechanic. And so I had to go check all that out, make sure no one's messing with that, and talk to the people that share the warehouse with us and see if they've seen any, or ask them if they've seen anything weird. And I was just frustrated. I was very frustrated.
It's so frustrating.
And then it's like the last week, one of the customers came in and said there was a Target shopping cart about 300 yards down the road full of fence boards. And it's like
stealing stuff.
Yeah, just like straight out from the from our exit gate. And when he told me, I had my sledgehammer in hand, so I just threw it over my shoulder and walked down the road. And by the time I got there, there was nothing on the side of the road.
I was they run away with the fence boards.
Yeah, I was ready to just beat the.
You cannot do that. Oh my God, stop.
I was mad.
Oh.
We don't like thieves.
No.
We don't deal with that.
I just.
And everyone wants to set booby traps. Now when I say we can't set booby traps.
Well, that's a thing that I asked you when you told me. You try to leave stuff so it's candid before the podcast, but you had to tell me about all that. But I said, you know, is there any way, not like extremely, you know, detrimental to something, but couldn't you set like booby traps to catch somebody? And there are cameras and there are alarms and all these things, and they still get by, obviously. And I'm like, can't you do like some kind of like booby trap? Like, you know, I love the Goonies, so. Like, and then you can't do that because then people can sue you even though they're trespassing on your private property. Yep. Like, it's insane. And
if someone's trespassing and they get hurt on your property, it's still, you're liable for it.
It's just insanity.
It's so freaking stupid. Then everyone kept asking, why don't we just electrify the fence? I'm like, well, we're working in a lumber yard. It's surrounded by brush.
It's a little, yeah, I don't. You're not in a freaking pasture with the cows.
That's a fire hazard there, bud. It's like, it gets to be July and everything dries out and there's a spark off that fence. This whole yard's going up.
Yeah, that's not the answer, but we have to find an answer.
Yeah.
I have an answer. What's Nobody that? Likes it.
What? Move?
Move.
Yeah, but I was pretty riled up. Everyone was pretty riled up all day.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about all these things, but I don't want to get too into it. But it is not good right now in that particular area.
And then when we were passing the fence, there was freaking needles all over the place, too.
You don't get me started on the needles.
Oh, my God.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started. I almost said something that I do not want to have on air. So, yet.
Not yet.
I might get more candid later on. I found an interesting Facebook group I'm going to have to show you. Do you have a toast? Something lighter? We sound pretty grumpy.
Oh, maybe you should start with the toast. I'm still working on that.
Still angry.
I had a stressful day, so.
My toast was yesterday. Was it yesterday? I can't even remember. What a week. Two toasts. When this podcast episode releases, it will be my last day at my old job and a brand new beginning. And,
woo!
Oh my God, honey, I don't want to edit that. It was really loud.
It wasn't that loud.
I'm glad you're excited. So
I'm happy for you.
I'm happy too. Every day I just feel better and better about my decision, where I was concerned it was going to go the opposite direction. So that's how I feel. But my toast was the other night when it was Tuesday, when we went to an awesome restaurant in Ruston. It was called Stack 571. I think. And they specialize in burgers, beer, and whiskey. And it was such a good dining experience. And it was a great time. Highly recommend it. And I will be posting about it on my Foodstagram at Washington Food Girl, probably the same day this podcast episode comes out. So stay tuned for that, for all the good pictures. But that was some of the best burgers I've had in so long. We had awesome calamari that was like a mix between buffalo wings and calamari. And then I had some whiskey and I felt so fancy because I got a whiskey flight and it was a good experience. Do you have a toast now?
My toast. I feel like, I guess my toast is going to be, so I don't like working in the office a whole lot at my work, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's nice because it's like I get to talk to people more and help them out more. And I really enjoy doing that. And I don't know, it feels more gratifying, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're helping people out, and actually it's more one-on-one than just like what I'm used to with, like, grab a ticket, you go get everything, get them loaded as fast as you can.
It's just that extra little layer onto, like, a thank you. Because somebody will say thank you when you're helping them out in the yard and, like, loading them up. And they're like, thanks, man. Yeah. But when someone's like, thank you so much, and then, like, says, you know, something else, like, you do such a good job or something like that. Yeah. Like, wow, that feels so good. That was happening to me, like, this past week, too. It's the end of baseball season, so a couple people were coming up to me and saying, I just really appreciate everything you've been doing. Thank you so much. And I was like, oh, wow. That feels so good.
It's like I had this guy. He was an older guy. And he came in today, and he placed his order, paid over the phone, and all this kind of stuff. And so I went and grabbed his order and brought it back. And he's like, so when I was talking to the lady on the phone, she said, whoever's loading me will help, like, load my vehicle up. Is that the case? Because I have health problems. And I'm like, yeah, they will. If they don't, you come and grab me. I held up a fist. I'm like, I'll take care of him. And he just looks at me just all wide eyes like, oh, I don't want to mess with you. We both had a good laugh. It was fun. But yeah, it's just doing stuff like that, making people happy.
You get funny when you work in the office. Like, you're very personable, and like, I see that side of you, but like, a lot of people don't see that side of you. So no. It's funny when you're like, hey man, blah blah blah, da da da, let's talk about wood.
Well, it's like, I mean, yeah, a lot of people don't see me in that way, as you said, but it's like when our normal people come in, and it's like, you got contractor Jamie and Jorge, and it's like every time they see me, it's just like, hey, amigo! And it's like now Jamie and Jorge, they both talk to me in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Jamie's trying to teach me Spanish slowly.
I might try out Babbel and try to learn Spanish while I'm working there. And I think that would be good. Maybe we could try to do it together.
It's so fun. Like, today Jamie was telling me about his birthday. Or he asked me when my birthday was, and I told him. He's like, me? Primero de Julio. And I'm like,
the 1st of July.
Yep.
See, I'm good. I got it.
And he's like, yeah. And he was just wearing a t-shirt, and it was super cold. And he's like, oh, I'm so cold. I'm like, mucho frio. He's like, sí. It's just so much fun.
Language is something that comes really easily to you, though. Like, if you got one of those apps or something and actually tried to learn it, you would probably get it done. Yeah. Like, so easily, especially since you use it sometimes talking to people, which is the harder part, but that's something that's really hard for me. I was so bad at Spanish.
I was really good at it.
I know.
But
that's what you told me.
Yeah, I got really creative in my Spanish classes in high school.
Yeah, I know. We don't need to get into you and your Spanish car story that you always tell. Oh,
mi coche rojo.
Okay, we're good. Thank you for that. Okay, that was a good toast to roast, don't you think?
I would say so.
I thought you weren't going to talk because we're like so tired, but Casey just blah, 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 blah.
Well, you know, I got another beer in my hand, so I kept on going.
Well, like I said, on the second half of the episode, Casey is not there, but I am talking about trying out a bunch of different things and then seeing what works and then being consistent with it and giving some examples of what's going on with what I just mentioned actually previously, my Foodstagram account, Washington Food Girl. It has been growing consistently, which is really surprising for me, and it's been going great. So I wanted to talk about that and how I kind of found my niche and how it's like continuing to grow because I got real specific, which is hard because getting specific when you want to try a bunch of different things is a tough thing to do, but you can do it. And I'll tell you how. Okay, we'll be right back. And I'm back. I am going to be talking a little bit about social media today in my favorite way, which is things that are working, why they're working, and why I am consistently growing on one of my social media accounts. So it is more fun than just social media stuff, I promise. It applies to a lot of different things. So I'm not just going to be talking about Instagram and algorithms and hashtags and all that. I'm really talking more about why this consistency is leading to consistent growth in followers and in engagement on that account. So I have three social media accounts, or three Instagram accounts, really. One is my personal one, at Lindsay Jo Wilson. One is for the podcast, at Pish Posh Pod. And one is for my Foodstagram, which is just like a food blog, pictures of food and then little descriptions. And that is at Washington Food Girl. While my personal Instagram has grown a little bit over the years, it has been very, very slow to grow. And that is really based on actual connection with people. You know, people who follow my personal Instagram probably actually know me. They're probably my friends. We've met in real life. Then my podcast is obviously, you know, people who listen to the podcast or support the podcast or want to see what's going on there. Whereas the Foodstagram account, people are going to that one just to see pictures of food. I love Foodstagram. I think I've talked about it before on the podcast, but if not, it is such a fun place to just look at pictures of food, find new places I want to go. Gives me an extra reason to like really enjoy my food and like take pictures of it, even though those people are annoying taking pictures of their food. That's me. And I have just grown to love it so much more in the past year. So I started my Foodstagram account in 2015, so a long time ago. And I started it out and was being somewhat consistent with it, but it was not growing a ton. And the algorithm has changed so much in the past 6 years. And how Instagram just works in general has changed so much in the past 6 years. So it's hard to compare back then to now. But I brought back my Foodstagram account in 2020. And in the past year, but really in the past couple of months, I have seen consistent growth. And it makes me so happy to see this growing. I really try to grow. I'm going to be very honest in this podcast. I really try to grow my podcast Instagram, and it is hard. And I try to grow my personal Instagram too. I'd love to have more followers on there and make new friends, but that is hard as well. And it's not easy to grow your social media account, no matter what platform it is, without being famous, going viral. You know, it takes a lot of luck. It takes a lot of who do you know, who's sharing you, you know, that kind of stuff. So it is hard work to grow on social media. And while social media is not everything, people can really make careers out of this. I am not trying to be an influencer. I am trying to be a blogger in the food world. So I really enjoy that side of things. I also have the blog that goes along with the podcast. So a blogger is the original influencer. And I think it provides more value to the consumer than an influencer, but it depends on, it all depends on how you do it. So I use Foodstagram to find new places to go. I use it to calm my anxiety sometimes because it's nice to just scroll through a feed that is all pictures of food and not drama, politics, me comparing my body, my life, my everything to the perfect people on Instagram. I'm just looking at food. There's no drama there. So I love that. And one of the things that brings me the most joy is going out to eat with, you know, either Casey or my family or my friends. I just love doing that. And I love supporting small business. So one of the big things I focus on with my Foodstagram is sharing small businesses. I rarely share anything that is a large chain. You know, I'm not sharing my McDonald's meal or things like that. Every once in a while, maybe, but I would say 95% of my Washington Food Girl posts and stories are all small businesses or small chains. Okay, now the nitty gritty. Why did I come back to Foodstagram? And why is it growing at such a faster rate than some of my other projects? I have been doing the podcast for over a year. I have been consistent with it for over a year. And I've talked about this quite a bit, that it has grown and changed in different phases. So at the very beginning of the podcast, we were talking about things like sports, and then we've really morphed into a lot more personal development. But sometimes we just like to talk about whatever is on our mind. It is not super niche. Even saying we focus on personal development in the podcast or business or anything like that, or you're prioritizing passion, is not very niche. It's a very broad thing. We've talked to people about money. We've talked to people about food. We've talked to people about, like a couple weeks ago, the Reiki. Like, we have talked about so many different topics, which is very fun, but people don't know the podcast for being about a specific thing. I am not a expert on anything in particular. People do not come to that particular place, my podcast, Instagram, or the website, or whatever, to find something specific. The blog on the podcast website actually has gotten more focused. It's mostly books and beer. So if you're looking for books and breweries, I got them for you on that spot, on pishposhpodcast.com/blog. But back to Foodstagram. People follow me on Foodstagram just to look at pictures of food and also to find recommendations. Most of my followers on the Washington Food Girl account are from Washington, and so they see these places as somewhere that they want to go. And that is why I also follow other people from Washington or Oregon or these areas that I know, oh, I could go there pretty soon. Like, that's a possibility for me. I do love following New York City Foodstagrammers, but it is also a little sad because I'm not going there anytime soon, and their food and the foodies over there, they're insane. They're a whole nother level. But people need to know why they should follow you. You have to give them a reason why. And this can apply to things outside of social media too. They need to know why they want to come to your store, why they want to watch your YouTube videos, why you? Like, what do you do that's different? Or just, they want to know right away. That is what they do. They talk about food in Washington, Pacific Northwest. That's what we do. And so I just have always been told, when you're talking about marketing, when you're talking about selling things, you really need to know your niche, your small group, your niche market. And that is something that has always been really hard for me because I love so many things and I want to talk about so many things. But when I really think about the content that I consume, I prefer to consume content from people who are very specific in their niche. If I'm watching YouTube videos, I'm watching these people who post the same kind of content over and over again on the same subject matter over and over again. if I'm listening to a podcast, it is about something pretty specific usually. And when you think of people who don't follow that, who aren't very specific, you probably won't even be able to think of them because they're not top of mind for you. You're like, oh yeah, they're just there, but I don't really trust them on anything, or they don't come to mind right away because they're not specific. And it's something I would like to do more with the podcast and more with my personal brand, is getting more specific on that. But I am really happy that I've been able to get so specific with my one account. So while there are social media accounts that will grow by hundreds each week, I'm just really happy. The past 3 weeks, the Washington Food Girl account has gotten 10 new followers each week. And I am not doing any paid advertising. It is just consistency. It's learning and finding more people within this small group of the small market, and then just keep talking about it. And then the big thing with consistency on social media and why it's so important is when I go to follow somebody, I look to see when the last time they posted was. And I would hope it would be within the last week or maybe 2 weeks if I'm following somebody new, because I know they're going to be consistent with their content, consistently serving whoever's consuming it. The people who follow something like a blog or a foodstagram or a bookstagram are not really customers. Like, they're not paying me anything, but I am serving them still. So that is what I like to focus on with things like Foodstagram. I don't have a Bookstagram, but I've thought about it. But there are all these different lanes of where you can curate content to give out to people. And they want to know that you're going to be consistently giving them something in this same realm. Clothes and shopping boutiques and things like that are another thing that are very similar. Like, people follow different boutiques because they want to consistently see the new stuff that's coming in. They want to get that. They follow certain influencers because they post the same kind of content. They follow like a mom blogger or a chef blogger because they want to see the new recipes. They follow a comedian on TikTok, like, because they're always giving you the same content that's going to make you laugh like over and over again. So there are a lot of different like niche markets, but it is so hard to find your niche. So I wanted to talk about, like, you got to try a lot of different things. I currently have 3 Instagram accounts. That's a lot. And no, I don't use all of them every single day. And so not all of them are going to grow consistently. Also, not all of them are going to grow consistently because they have different niches and different purposes. So I think the homework for this week is to just think about some of the creators that you follow, or the stores or the businesses that you follow on social media, or the ones that you really want to keep up to date on, or even influencers, and think, why do I like what they're doing? And how could I do that with my passion or my business, or, you know, just whatever you're trying out. I like to say to try out all these different things, like, and then this is so easy, but it's something we all forget. Like, why do I like to follow people on Instagram? Like, there is a big disconnect with people who are creating things and people who are consuming things. When I'm creating something, I would think, would I care about seeing this? If I'm the one making it, I should care. I should be my ideal person looking at this. So if I still don't even care about it, then maybe there's something wrong. Yeah. So I had some stuff written down. How do people know who you are if you're not going to be consistent with something? So your potential client, your potential customer, your potential follower, your potential new friend. I'm saying potential like potential, which is weird. Your potential people. If you're trying to find new people, new potential people, how are they going to know who you are and what you do if it's not clear? So looking at however you are sharing your passion or your business or whatever, if you just look at that right away, is it clear what you do? And while sometimes somebody might have something in their like a description or a biography real quick and say, I do XYZ, but does your content reflect that? Does what you're saying reflect that? Does what you're doing reflect that? If it doesn't, then maybe you need to rethink things on your bio end, on your description end, or rethink your content. It all has to be in line. And then the other thing is you got to think, would I follow somebody who's doing the same thing that I'm doing? Like, why would anyone care what I'm doing? And if I'm talking about this kind of stuff, as I'm being really kind of specific to Instagram, but it does apply to other sources, I just want people to think a little bit bigger picture with this. But it's easier for me right now to talk about my Foodstagram because I'm just really happy about it. But you can get really good at something when you get really niched down and focused on it, and then you find this specific group. And I'm so glad that I've been able to do that with my Washington Food Girl account. And I'm so excited that it's like continuing to grow and it might blossom into something even more. So that just makes me really happy. Presenting yourself as an authority is hard, but that is what you want to do. This is the more important piece here. You want to present yourself as an authority, whether that's in work, on your side hustle, your business, whether it's just sharing content with your friends, whether it's your account, a blog. Like, you want to be seen as an authority on something in different areas of your life. In this case, I'm talking about Instagram, and I'm presenting my account as an authority on places to eat in Washington State. It just makes me smile to even say, like, obviously I'm not an expert, but people come to me to find this stuff. So yes, I am. Like, I'm an authority. When you think about some of these content creators that you listen to, a podcast you listen to, like people you follow, businesses you keep up on, why do you go to them? Because they're an authority on something. They're teaching you something. They're giving you some kind of information. So pay attention to like where you're getting all this information from, who you're listening to on the radio, who you're listening to right now with me. Like, I'm talking about this kind of stuff as, see, like another point of authority. Like, I'm not trying to say I'm like authoritative and being better than anyone, but you should present whatever it is. And this can work too if you're in a 9-to-5 as well. Like, you know your shit. So you should present yourself like, I know what I'm talking about. And know your value and know what you're giving to a customer, a client, or somebody who's reading your blog. Like, know where this authority is coming from and consistently give that to people so they continue to see you as an authority. It's not a fluke if you're consistent. I kind of talked about this already, but the last thing I'm going to touch on and a place I've really seen this work is obviously Instagram, but also YouTube. So I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm not a YouTuber. If I get to be one of those one day, holy moly, I have like learned a lot of new skills. Maybe in 10 years, I'll look back at this and be like, dang, I did it. But probably not. It's so much work. But wanted to talk about YouTube because, and if you don't go on YouTube to watch things, and you might be somebody who scrolls on Facebook and you watch the same kind of videos over and over again. Like, I know you're out there. You might be on TikTok watching the same people over and over again. Like, whatever it is, somebody's consuming content from somebody else consistently. And the niche is important. It's so important. Like, the algorithms, they know what you like. And if you like seeing, this is a good one. So if you know that you like seeing cooking videos and you like one creator and you keep coming back to this one guy, Baking with Babish, isn't that a guy on YouTube who cooks? Something like that. Cooking with Babish. I don't know. He's famous. I don't even watch that guy, but I know a lot of people do. people come back because he does the same thing every time. This guy cooks. I have seen a video or two. I'll just explain it now. He does his whole meal prep, and you just see, like, below his neck and up to his waist. And you just see all the hand, like, work to cook. I hope I'm not getting off base here. So people enjoy watching that. And so they just come back and watch over and over again. Another one I'm more familiar with, Sean Evans. He is the king of turning an idea on YouTube into an entire brand, an entire business, and just going all the way. So Sean Evans is the host of Hot Ones by First We Feast. So it is a short form video interviewing celebrities while they eat hot wings that are increasingly hot. So there's 10 sauces. They eat a wing. And all while they're eating these hot wings, he's asking them questions. And it has grown so much in the past. Like, it's insane. So if you haven't watched Hot Ones, first of all, you need to. It's an amazing show. But people love it. And they keep coming back because it's so unique. And then since it was so unique, more people watched it and more people watched it. He got increasingly more famous guests. And then now it's an entire brand. You can go to Target and get a Hot Ones card game. Like, what? This is a YouTube channel. YouTube. Like, it is insane. So I think I didn't explain that as well as I could, but that's something that's so unique. And it grew because it's unique and it was consistent. It's not like he did, you know, this week we're doing hot wings and next week we're doing pizza and next week we're doing burgers. And it's like, but why? It's just you got to find what people like for it to grow. So I have found that people like the Foodstagram, and I am continually learning. They like certain kinds of posts. They don't like other kinds of posts. Like, you got to pay attention to what people like and then keep it going with that. And it's okay to try out a bunch of different things at first. But once you find something that people are really enjoying, then you can take that and run with it. So I think that's where I'll end, because I am just getting really excited about this and, like, talking a lot. And I don't know if it's all making sense. But the moral of the story is, try out a bunch of things and find what works. And once you find something that is kind of working, that's making you happy, like, just be consistent with it and get really specific if possible. So don't try to do everything all at once. Try out a couple different things and then do each of them for a little while. See what people are picking up, what you're putting down. And if they are, then go with it and then stay in your lane. Like, you got to find your lane to stay in your lane. That's it. Wow, I am just, like, spewing a lot out right now. Hope you enjoyed this one, as I always say. And I'll be back next week. Party on. Thank you for listening to this episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am so glad you joined us. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Then make sure you're following us on Instagram at Pish Posh Pod. Then, if you want even more, you can join us at patreon.com/pishposhpod. There are bonus episodes there and journaling prompts for you to use whenever you want. So check all that out. We'll see you next week. Party on.